started. Have I got a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed. Aye. Approval of minutes from September 11th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. I'll second.
All those in favor?
On those minutes?
Oh, do what about the minutes, Ted?
Yes, just a quick clerical. I think on page 3, page 2010, I think that's supposed to be 2020. Page 3 would be the last bullet point on the first topic on the top of page 3.
Good catch.
That's really all I saw. It was a fully booked.
All right, approved with that modification.
Who was the second? Thank you.
So I have to amend my motion to approve the minutes to include that modification.
Second.
So moved.
So do you, a little discussion, Ted. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Recommendation would be for maybe just for you to listen, because we do have a quorum, because us not knowing whether or not you're hearing the full discussion.
But chime in with anything you want.
I can appreciate that, and I have no problems with that, just listening. If there's anything specific that you'd like me to try and comment on, just ask.
Wonderful. That's perfect.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks. Public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm a former co-chairman of the Village of Bellaway Bike Ped Committee. I'm requesting that on the next agenda that you put discussion of the 10-year capital improvement plan for the Public Works Department. That would include the St. Mary's Street sidewalk and the Webster TID bonding for about $5 million. Thanks.
Thank you. There being no other public in attendance, item number 4, 2020 Public Works and Utility Budget.
All right. I'm going to try to keep this brief and at a high level. I have handed out a budget, we're going to get into more detail on this budget on the 21st at the first of two workshops planned. And I'm going to jump right in on the engineering budget. For the most part, we're going to be maintaining 2019 funding levels. Some noteworthy public works budget items would include this year we have used a geotechnical engineer to help with construction material testing on our projects of asphalt and concrete. I'm proposing in 2020 to add a small dollar amount to the engineering budget for that service. It helps ensure that the asphalt pavement and the concrete being poured is meeting village specifications. This year we had started the implementation of village GIS mapping system. Unfortunately, due to staff workload, we had put that on hold. Our plan is to start that project again in 2020. Funding from 2019 will be carried over to 2020 to implement that project. Within the next couple of months, my goal is to work with Brad to put out an advertisement for a part-time engineering technician. This person would help with the design and drafting of public works projects. It would also help us maintain, once we have the village mapping system up and running, help maintain that system. And an individual would also be asked to go out in the field from time to time to help inspect the projects. Any questions on engineering budget?
Would that person need to be, or what's the background requirement, engineering tech, just an associate?
An associate degree in engineering.
And this is basically the position that has been vacant for a little over a year, just to get it. And didn't want to put Sean in a position to, didn't want to hire somebody that may not fit what Sean was looking for.
Good.
So after a one full year of lots of projects, he's not understanding what the needs are.
I know where our strengths are and where our needs are now. And I don't think we necessarily need a full-time person. I think we can get by with a part-time person.
And how's the market for somebody like that?
I would, you know, that my hope is by adding, by advertising a part-time position with a lot of flexibility, that I can find somebody that's qualified, that has experience. I'd be, you know, willing to work with them on hours during the week. I'm hoping that I can find somebody that maybe a stay-at-home mother or father that, you know, they're in the point of, point in their career where they have young children and they want to drop their kids off in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon. So,
perfect. Potentially.
And I guess it, you know, depending on the workload and qualifications, over time it maybe it becomes full time, but now it's part time position. Public works budget, for the most part, we'll be maintaining, roughly speaking, the 2019 budget funding level. Revenue, just was recently, operating revenue was just recently notified by the DOT that that our general transportation aid funding has been increased, roughly speaking, $25,000 over last year. We've been told that we'll receive $413,672. This year we had received $389,000. Just recently submitted the recycling grant. Hopeful that we'll get funding that matches 2019 levels at approximately $98,000. We won't know until sometime next year. In the near future, I'll be putting together an application for an LRIP grant. We've already discussed that at this committee, and with the submittal of that, we're expecting to receive approximately $52,000. I think you're all aware that unfortunately that the recycling market is down, and we'll be paying to dispose of recyclable goods in 2020. And that cost has gone up from 2019. Been in discussions with Brown County Port and Resource Recovery on what to expect in 2020, and they had indicated to assume $32 a ton for the disposal of recyclables in 2020. And I just recently had gotten an update on October tipping fees at $32, but for budgeting purposes, I use $35 a ton, and that cost will be approximately $42,000 next year.
Mm-hmm. And is that $42,000 that it's going to cost us on top of the grant?
The grant will be given, that grant, and that money can be used towards the recycling program to offset our cost.
And that goes towards the TVs at LeBron and the other recycling things we do besides just curbside recycling, right?
Mainly, the $98,000 is mainly for curbside recycling.
Okay.
And is a big part of that the Asian market and not diminished interest in paper,
yes,
and cardboard and all that?
Yeah.
And that isn't anticipated to change much.
They don't anticipate a change next year, but they feel that the markets will improve after next year. Maintenance of not expenditures, maintenance of potholes and crack filling, will maintain those budgets at this year's levels, $50,000 for potholes, $50,000, crack filling $25,000. this year we had started to take on some asphalt patching in-house, and that has helped us to do more with less, and we'll continue to do that next year. This year we took on, roughly speaking, 12 patches.
Do you do the crack filling too?
Or
do
no, you we sub don't. That? We sub that out. We contract that out. We have delayed the Old River Trail construction project from this year to next year. We had originally estimated a project cost of $33,000. We had revisited the cost estimate based on unit prices that we've gotten this year, and that cost, at least our portion of the project, has gone up. Overall, the project has gone up. The developer will be providing us $20,500 to get that project completed. It will cost the village roughly $17,500. Street maintenance, repaving project, proposing $500,000 for that budget. We've been budgeting that amount for some time now. I think for the last couple of years. If you've driven around the village, you'll notice that a lot of our streets need maintenance, and it's important that we continue to keep up with that maintenance. We're proposing Arbor and Stanton for the LRIP program. That will take up a portion of that $500,000, and then we're looking to resurface a couple streets that we had reconstructed 10 or 15 years ago.
That Bull Creek project went pretty quick.
It did.
That was like a week, seemed like.
And that was a resurfacing project. That was a project that we had reconstructed. And
that was all luck. They had bad weather up in Door County, so they retasked them down here. Otherwise, that would have ended differently.
Overall, the operating costs for our services will not be changing. And that includes garbage, collection of garbage, brush, leaf, and yard waste. We have through the continuous improvement process, we hope that we've saved some money with how we're disposing of brush, and we'll know more about that at the end of this year. I think we may see a cost savings of half of our cost from last year, but we'll continue to monitor that and know more at the end of this year. This year we added 4,500 linear feet of new sidewalk, so the cost of the maintenance of sidewalk in winter will go up. I don't know roughly the dollar amount, but we are also taking a look at that process in the middle of a continuous improvement evaluation to see how we can save some money with that process. Sidewalk and curb gutter repair, we budgeted $10,000 for each of those fund activities. Just recently met with Brown County. It's time to repair the retaining walls along Webster Avenue. They've made the maintenance of the sidewalk along Webster Avenue in the winter difficult. The walls are
some places they're just coming apart.
They're coming apart. They're falling into the sidewalk. They're at the end of their service life. I believe they were constructed in the late 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
I haven't received the cost estimate from Brown County. We will share the cost to repair these walls.
They try to use the existing limestone or whatever it is.
Yeah, because there's some nice limestone in some of them.
No, that would be expensive and difficult to do. In most cases, our hope is that we would come in and remove the wall and grade back.
Okay.
And landscape. Mm-hmm. There are a handful of cases though where the grade difference is too much, where we're going to have to come in and replace that existing wall. Three locations off the top of my head: the wall at Austin's North to the next side road is at Ledgeview. Mm-hmm. That wall will be replaced with. Right now, we're proposing to replace that with a cast-in-place concrete cast-in-place wall. about 24 inches in height. And then north of there, just north of St. Matthews, there are a couple of properties where the grade difference is too much to go back and grade. Those walls will be, again, those will be replaced with a concrete casting post wall.
Does the homeowner have any say or cost or?
No. Once we put together a plan, once we know roughly speaking what the costs are, we're going to get out a letter and we're going to have a meeting. We'll hold it here and go through the details of the project and gain some input from the property owners.
Yeah, some are limestone, some are brick, mortar than brick, I think.
Well, the wall that is brick actually is in a condition where we think it can remain.
Oh.
So that wall will be left in place.
So the new or cast concrete walls, will they be decorative?
They definitely could be. It will add to the cost. We don't have a whole lot budgeted for the repair. We briefly talked about the cost sharing, and it will be an expensive project. And just, I ran some rough numbers. I'm thinking $100,000 project, you know, and that would include replacement of existing walls. That would also include sidewalk repair that would be associated with the wall work, and then the landscaping. Landscaping costs would be anywhere between 10 and 15. Sidewalk costs would be anywhere between, I'm thinking, 20 and 25, and then the remainder would be 60 to 70,000 in wall costs, and it's a lot of money. And the reason for the replacement of the sidewalk is that where we're going to replace an existing wall, that cast in place retaining wall would be tied to the concrete sidewalk, be integral to that sidewalk.
Which would obviously probably keep it in place better.
And we would have control over the width too. We want to make sure that we have a 5-foot clear walk width opening.
Do we have enough right of way along there to do that?
Unlikely, no. We did talk to the county about that. The residents, the property owners, would have to sign a construction easement to allow us to do the work.
There are a few of the residents that have the crumbling walls that would like to
repaired. Oh, yeah.
My hope is that our contribution could be that we could assist with the grading, the landscaping, and we could do that in-house, some of that work in-house, and then sharing the cost of the repair of the sidewalk.
I just suggest that you look at a 7-foot sidewalk and talk to the neighbors because they may have a
point of order.
Never mind.
Send us some comments afterwards.
Thank you.
Brown County landfill tipping fee, we talked about the increase in the disposal of recyclable goods. There will be an increase in the cost to dispose of garbage. This year we're paying $43 a ton, and that will increase to $43.66 next year, roughly speaking, a 1.5% increase. Moving forward, we feel that there will be a cost savings with the joint grinding of brush with the Parks Department. We will continue to, when possible, we'll continue to purchase multi-purpose equipment and trucks. We feel that there's a cost savings in the future with moving from baling to leaf sucking. Right now we bale the leaves. We're in the process of, in 2020, we'll purchase another garbage truck that will be a used garbage truck that will be retrofitted with an ODB unit converted to a leaf vacuum truck, We feel there's some cost savings with that process, and we'll continue to explore that. With the CI improvement process, we have identified some improvements at the residential yardway site, and we'll get into more details of that at the end of the agenda. We have a discussion item at the end.
I know people are excited that our hours may be increasing.
I think
that's a good possibility.
Sewage treatment fund. As of right now, we don't feel a rate increase will be necessary for 2020, but we're still looking at the numbers, and we'll get into all of those details on the 21st at the first workshop. In summary, the cost to treat wastewater has gone up. New Water, Tom Sigmund from New Water came a couple weeks ago to provide a presentation. Their cost has gone up, roughly speaking, 3-4%. Their projected 2020 budget is $1,786,909. However, because of the extreme weather that we've been having, in 2018 we had record rainfall levels. And this year we're on track. I think we've already surpassed those levels. So when they put together their budgets, they assume an average annual rainfall. And we've been getting way above normal rainfall depth lately. And unfortunately, our system is not watertight, and some of that gets into our sanitary sewer system, and it goes to New Water, and it's treated, and we're charged for that. I had used this year's actual flows to try to determine what our cost might be next year, and I work with New Water staff, and I'm anticipating that our cost next year to treat us wastewater close to $1,870,000.
I'm hoping we don't have that much rain next year.
Proposing to continue to maintain the repair of our sanitary sewer system, and that would be spot repair. Proposing $50,000, and we've budgeted that amount for the last few years. That's somewhat based on a phone call that you get in the middle of the night that somebody's got a basement backup. You go in and televise your main, and you find that you've got a failing sewer pipe, and then you have to go in and repair that broken pipe or failed pipe. This year we had planned to repair the Andalusia Court sanitary sewer. Unfortunately, we have not yet gotten to that project. If we have enough time at the end of this year, we will get out a contract and we will advertise that project. It's likely, though, at this point that work won't get done this year, but next year, and that money that we had budgeted for this year will get carried over to next year. We have this year and last year we've had a number of backups in basements between Mission and Alloway Avenue. My hope was to be able to review that and possibly hire a consultant to help study that. I've learned more now about the problem over the course of this year. I've met with some of the residents on East River Drive in that area where we've had backups, and unfortunately, we had recommended, to my knowledge, we had recommended to the people living in that area to install a backflow preventer. Some have. Some haven't.
Is that the Palmer valves?
No, it's not.
Okay. Because there's some discussion about Palmer valves.
Some have elected to place the Palmer valve, which sits in your floor drain, right below your floor drain. And some have installed the backflow preventer, which is in line with your lateral near your cleanup.
Okay.
And it's a better device. It's a backflow preventer. Yeah. Those that have installed those have seen better results. They haven't had the backup. So I think the first step in this process would be to get a letter out, to have a brief meeting with everybody. And for those that haven't yet installed a backflow preventer, to encourage them to do that.
Can you deal with that cost on there? Is that pricey?
anywhere between... $750, anywhere between $1,000 and a couple grand. They have to come in order to put in this backflow preventer. They have to cut open your basement floor and install it, cut out a section of pipe and put it in. So, and then
the Palmer valve, you stick it right in the floor.
You pull your floor drain on and you put in that valve.
Does new construction have those? Those aren't automatically put in now?
No.
A lot cheaper, obviously, if you pop it in.
I think it also depends where you are, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess moving forward, we're going to continue to replace old sanitary sewer under the street reconstruction project. And by doing that, not only... sanitary sewer, but the laterals, at least from the main to the property line, and continue to offer that voluntary program for the replacement of the private side from the right of way, from the property line to the home. The hope is that by replacing the old concrete clay pipe, we can provide a watertight system and minimize the amount of ionite that gets into our. Into our sanitary sewer. One of the things that we had been doing in the past that we haven't been doing at the same level is the televising of our sanitary sewer. We have a reconstruct project as part of the reconstruction cost. We go out and televise the sanitary sewer. The sanitary sewer that will be relayed under that project. But what we need to do is we need to continue our effort in going out and starting in a particular spot in the village and working our way around to look for failing pipe and to look for ionite areas. And from that, we can hopefully get a better understanding of where this water is coming into our system and then go in and make the needed repair. We had budgeted $10,000 this year, and because we know there's a known issue on East River Drive, we're going to start in that area and go from there. Water department. I talked to Julie a little bit about the water department fund. At this point, we don't know if a rate increase will be necessary for next year, but she's going to continue to look into that. It may be necessary. But we'll know more by the 21st. Purchased water from Central Brown County Water Authority is projected at $2,033,600. That is an increase over last year. Last year's budget was $1,925,780, roughly speaking, of the $108,000 increase over last year. Increases is mainly contributed to the phase out of the rate stabilization that was applied to the budget last year, and that was phased out. We're going to continue to go out and survey our water main for leaks. We've done that this year. We'll continue to do that next year. This year we had jointly bid that inspection with MPU and De Pere. We saw a fairly significant cost savings by doing that, about $14,000, and we'll continue to do that. This year we had identified 8 leaks on the public side and 6 on the private, and we have, to my knowledge, we have gone out and made all of those repairs. If we had, the report had suggested that over the course of a year we could lose up to 10 million gallons of water through those leaks. This last year's budget, we had identified that we were going to repair the standpipe for the water tower on Webster Avenue. That project has started. However, it's been delayed to coincide with the mandated five-year tank inspection. Strand Associates was retained to design, to inspect the project, and to complete the five-year tank inspection report. My hope is that that Strand completes the plans, prepares a contract, and that we bid that project late December, early January, with the hopes of hitting these contractors when they don't have a whole lot of work yet and getting better prices. That work will be completed in 2020. This year, it was mandated that we test for unregulated contaminants. That is not required in 2020. That's roughly speaking a cost savings of $10,000. Next year, we're going to continue with the removal of old lead services, and that would be from the main to the property line. We have a few old lead services that will be replaced under our reconstruct project, and Mike Mollick, water foreman, is currently putting together a contract with a contractor to replace a handful of lead services at this fall. Any remaining funds from 2019, I'm hoping to carry over to next year to continue to work on the removal of lead services. Next year, we've budgeted $20,000 for the sandblasting and painting of hydrants. We have actually just finished that project in the village, and we're budgeting $20,000 for that next year. We're going to continue to maintain at the same funding levels the budgets for the repair of water main and water service lines for breaks, and we had a number of those this year. We had a major one on Blackhawk, and reconstruction of that project has started, and we're hopeful to be done with the reconstruction of Blackhawk by end of this month. In the future, we're going to continue to relay our old cast iron water main under the reconstruction projects, and we're going to continue to complete the mandated cross connection inspection of residential properties with village staff, and we're going to continue to explore available options to lower our cost to complete the cross connection inspection at commercial properties. Right now, we have a 3-year contract with HydroCorp. We had signed a 3-year contract last year. By doing so, we were able to save, roughly speaking, $3,000 a year. We've, through a splash study, a collaborative study between Central Brown County Authority and Green Bay Water Utility, we've taken a close look at cross connection and cost savings. And through that process, we have learned that there are a number of surrounding communities that also use HydroCorp. So we're looking at possibly maybe joint bidding that work or a regional contract of some sort to lower that expense. have a note here that we're going to continue to joint bid leak detection and reservoir inspection. Again, we saw significant savings by doing so this year. Stormwater utility. This would include stormwater treatment, or stormwater treatment system, which mainly includes the stormwater ponds, storm sewer system, and street sweeping. Julie's currently still looking through the numbers at this point. We don't know if a rate increase will be necessary in 2020. In summary, I've reached out to, in summary, we're gonna take a look at the village as a whole. We're going to look at commercial properties to make sure that their equivalent runoff units is reflective of the amount of impervious surface that they have on their property. There has been, over the course of 2 to 3 years, some development in the village, and we want to make sure that we're capturing that increased imperviousness that will add to our revenue. Over the last couple of years, we've seen a noticeable increase in rainfall that has had a lot of wear and tear on our storm sewer system, inlets, storm sewer. Because of that, we've seen more storm sewer failure. We've seen we've seen more sinkholes, and we've seen failure at inlets. We're proposing to fund our storm sewer repair budget at 2019 levels, which is $50,000. It's 50 plus the $15,000 I mentioned below. We've been notified by Lang Lane Elementary School, actually. Known about this issue for some time, about a year, that the public storm sewer behind Lang Lane Elementary School is failing. It is a public storm sewer. We have come up with a cost. Cost to repair that line is $15,000. So we will be increasing the storm sewer repair budget from $50,000 to $65,000. The design of the Bethel Baptist Pond project has started. That project will be advertised late this year, early next year, with construction completed end of next year. We have received the DNR grant for that project. It does fund a portion of that project, roughly speaking, about 65% of project expense, both engineering and construction.
We're going to pursue other grants.
We are. We had a discussion with the Bay Lake Regional Planning, and we had Brad and Trevor had put together a list, and on that list is that pond project, and hopefully we can get some funding to help with the restoration of the pond and all that stuff. Equipment replacement fund, quickly run through planned purchases for next year. This is just a guide, and things might change, and they may change because of the continuous improvement process. As we work through those processes, we might find deficiencies and may not, you know, need to buy equipment or a truck for whatever reason. So. This year we're going to be retiring truck 93. It's a plow truck. That truck has been replaced with a multi-purpose truck, which we have already purchased, but it's currently being built. We're hopeful to have that new truck by the middle of February, and we'll begin to plow with it. That new truck will replace two trucks, a plow and a haul truck. We've talked about the leaf vacuum truck. We're in the process of purchasing a used garbage truck from the city of De Pere. That truck will be purchased in 2020. We'll retrofit it with an ODB unit. the hope of having it up and running by fall of next year.
What does ODB stand for?
Good question.
What does it
stand for? Bless you.
Sorry, you feel
The vacuum system. It's a vacuum system.
That big shop vacuum.
Okay. Yeah. But it not only it sucks in the material, but it grinds it. Yeah.
Okay.
We have in next year's budget to possibly replace 2009 holder. It's a small utility vehicle that we currently use to clear sidewalk in the winter, and then in the fall to pull leaves into the streets so that they can be baled. This particular piece of equipment, unfortunately, has been nothing but a headache, and it's been in the shop more than it's been on the field. The fate of this is somewhat dependent on the continuous improvement process and how we move forward with the clearing of the sidewalk in the winter.
Approximately how much does a holder tractor cost?
With all attachments, $150,000. They're expensive. That would include the sander in the back, a broom, plow, and then
blower. Is it typical or atypical for something that's 10 years old? Okay, it's atypical for that to break down that quickly?
It's not typical. And we have reached out to other communities in the area, and they've had the same problems. And they've taken their holders and they've moved them to the back of their garages, and they're not being used. And they're all looking to get rid of them.
And through the continuous improvement, we've already been working on the brush, but if we go with the leaf suckers, then maybe it's going to change because you wouldn't be pulling them off the curb anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And currently we're working on the sidewalk plowing policy ordinance that, and practice, because there's three different things.
Mm-hmm.
And see where that leads us. And like Sean said, it may be something that is not needed. So, but we wanted to put it on as a kind of a placeholder type aspect.
And right now we have two small utility vehicles that we use to clear sidewalk. We have a 2003 trackless machine that does have a plow and a blower, but it also has a sander, and it's been a dependable piece of equipment. If we change the practice of how we remove, when we remove snow, if we remove snow on the sidewalk, we could probably get by with one. Maybe we get by with one, and we might be able to retrofit a small utility vehicle that's in the parks department. But continue to work on that continuous improvement process. Water department, we're proposing to retire a truck. Truck that's no longer needed in the water department. That truck would be acquired by the street department and be used as a patch truck.
The reason of the retirement of this truck, because it's no longer needed, it's a retirement of an individual around the first of the year of 2019, and we did not rehire that position.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Street and Water Department have discussed the need for a multi-use trailer that we would load, that we'd keep loaded with temporary traffic control barrels, signs, cones. We would use would keep those devices on that trailer. We would use it to haul our saw for asphalt patching. When extreme weather is forecasted, we would load it with their pumps, and it would be ready to go in the event that we have to go. respond to flooding. So it's available.
$30,000.
That was a detailed view.
No more than what I expected, but any questions?
So, nice job.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that needs to be noted is, from an operational standpoint, we're maintaining and trying to improve to reduce costs, but it's the outside influences that are rising or raising the costs, and it's unfortunately out of our control.
How are the stormwater ponds doing in light of all of this rain? I mean, maintenance budgets are staying the same. They are, but they seem to be doing well. We haven't had any pond failures or spillovers or, I mean, it's been...
No, we haven't. We had, you know, when we had that flooding early in the spring because the ice hadn't yet melted on the ponds, we saw some shoving and because of that, we had some minor landscape issues. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, those ice jams didn't damage an outlet structure.
Okay.
No, we have, in our stormwater budget, we have a fun activity for the maintenance of the ponds. A large majority of that expense goes to the maintenance of the vegetation, the prairie grass, and making sure that they aesthetically look nice.
Remove all the muskrats.
Oh yeah, remove all the muskrats and that.
Other invasives that get into the waterway.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall and the spring, yes, we have a trapper that comes out and removes rodents.
Okay.
We don't want them to, you know, dig into those berms. So we don't want a small one to come in larger all together.
Yeah.
So.
Good deal. All right, item number 5, Libel Street Surface Transportation Block Grant.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Have a good night.
I will. Thank you. Thanks.
So on the 2nd of October, Brown County Planning Commission had approved the Libel Street Surface Transportation Block Grant. They have approved that grant. At the maximum funding level at 80%, it is a $5.3 million project. That includes includes engineering, construction oversight, inflation, and then the cost to rehabilitate Libel Street. It's an 80-20 cost share. 80% of the cost would come from the federal government and 20% from the village. That breakout would be a $5.3 million project, $4 million funded by the feds, and roughly speaking, $1 million by the village. I should point out that the grant does not fund right-of-way acquisition and utility improvement costs. So that would be up and beyond the $1 million. We would be responsible for that expense. We haven't yet determined what that will be, but we will in the near future.
And that's Libel Street from where?
172 North to Culm Street. It's a fairly lengthy project, 1.6 miles in length. I had
another project for 1.6 mile resurfacing.
I had revisited the scope when it was originally scoped. It was scoped as a rehabilitation project, pavement replacement and paving project with sidewalk. After reviewing it with the DNR with the DOT. The project was re-scoped as a reconstruction from 172 to Alloway Avenue, and then from Alloway Avenue north as a rehabilitation. The reconstruction is necessary, the south half of the project, to try to fit in the multimodal transportation facilities that we want, bike facility, bike lanes and sidewalks. So. It has added to the project cost. Not saying that when we start the design, we can't go back, but now that, you know, we've been able to get the funding for that, we have money available. We find that that isn't case for the project. So that's just an update. With the Planning Commission approval, now with that approval, those projects will get sent to the DOT, and they'll begin to put together state municipal agreements for us to review and approve.
Okay. So. Good deal. Green Avenue multimodal.
Yes, we've been recently made aware of another program that has come out, a multimodal local supplement that has come out by the DOT. They've come out with a program, $75 million program for communities to use to help with the repair and reconstruction of multimodal transportation facilities. We have met recently, and we have discussed potential projects for this program. We had somewhat agreed that Green Avenue would be a good candidate for this program.
That would connect a lot.
And the limits of the project would be from Limel East to East River Drive. To score high, you want to show that you're adding connectivity, multimodal connectivity, and we do that via sidewalk, and that it would bike lane facilities, and that it would have a positive economic impact to the community. And we feel that we could achieve that. I know that the Bell and Run uses Green Ave part of their route, and
access to the fields at Green Isle, and those are always busy.
The park, yeah, be a connection between the park and Fox River Trail and Heritage Hill State Park, and the sidewalk could possibly serve the businesses at the corner there. Mm-hmm. So we're going to dig into the scope of that project. Be working with Trevor and Chris. We'll be putting together a cost estimate. We'll be scoping the project to find out how do we maintain that existing roadway width and squeeze in a sidewalk on the south side. The right of way is narrow. Probably have to shift the roadways north to be able to achieve that. We'll have to look at that so that we can come up with a good cost estimate. Trevor's indicated you'd help me. We could provide assistance with the application. We may reach out to a consultant to get some help on this. The deadline for this grant application is December 6th. So we're extremely busy, and we want to make sure that we submit a project. No guarantees, but on this particular project, it's a 90-10 cost share. So, and Green Avenue is desperate need of repair. The pavement condition is failing, and I don't know the paver rate off the top of my head, but it's got to be a 2 or 3.
Do you need a motion from us, or
no?
Nothing at this stage.
No, I don't think so. I think we can bring it back in November and
go from there. Riverside Drive traffic signal.
So it's September's Public Works Committee meeting. We had asked about the possibility of traffic signals at St. Joseph Street and Riverside Drive, or Alloway Avenue and Riverside Drive. And wanted to find out from the DOT the possibility of installation of traffic signals and if that was possible. They have since come back with some more information. Andy at the DOT has put together a cost estimate, and put together a conceptual plan, and helped me put together a staff report. Unfortunately, the installation of traffic signals is not in their scope in their resurfacing project for 2025. unless there's some kind of safety issue, major safety issue, it will not be included in the 2025 resurfacing project.
So I have a couple questions about that. Is that just because it's a resurfacing and not a reconstruction? Okay.
Yes.
Because there's different considerations with each? All right.
It would identify Alvey Avenue and Riverside Drive as a location
right.
for traffic lights.
Yeah.
But not under a resurfacing.
In St. Joe's, we now have even more access to get down there. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would challenge anybody to try to cross that street.
They're
be quick.
You better be.
And they're not against a crossing at either location, and they're not against, you know, providing a safe means to do that. But they're suggesting that there are other devices that can be used that
like
another hawk.
So they're open
okay,
to a hawk.
So they're open.
Not at the intersection. They did say they wouldn't install a hawk at an intersection,
okay.
but at mid block, a hawk or another rapid flashing beacon, similar to what we have in Marine Street.
So just stop.
Neither do I.
Home medical, and I'd say that somewhere in there.
They did
cemetery.
They did indicate they have informed us that the installation of traffic signals at St. Joseph and Riverside would cost roughly $1.7 million. $1.7 million. I find that hard to believe. That's it's a big number. But they did put together a somewhat detailed cost estimate, and a majority of that cost, a portion of that cost, would be the acquisition of property. And in order to install traffic signals there, what they're proposing is an island, a median through that intersection. And in order to do that, then you have to purchase property on one side or on both. And they felt that if you had to purchase property on the north side, that possibly that property, vacant property on the north side, would become undevelopable piece, and they may have to purchase the entire parcel. I didn't bring the detailed cost estimate, but they assumed, I think, $500,000 for acquisition of property.
That was at St. Joseph?
At St. Joseph Street, yeah.
So otherwise it would be $700,000.
Probably more, because you're still turning lanes that they're talking.
Yeah, you have. You would require.
It's all 1.2. Right? Much is
1.7. 1.7 million. Their estimate would. It also includes construction oversight. I think that was at off the top of my head. I think 500 for real estate, 150 to 200 for construction oversight, or 700,000. The storm sewer system at that intersection would have to be removed and replaced. You'd have that expense, along with probably some of the other utilities. To reconstruct that intersection, the reconstruction would extend beyond it, obviously. If you're putting in an island that would be wide enough for a pedestrian refuge, and providing exclusive turn lanes, in order to shift out into that new layout, you're well in advance and beyond that intersection. Certain taper routes that you have to follow.
There are many crossings that don't have a refuge, right?
Yep.
An island. There are many crossings that have a crossing with a light that goes over the road.
And they're proposing the Cadillac.
Okay. We'll take the VW. We just want a safe way to get across that road. And I know.
And I can call them back and find out. This appears to be the Cadillac.
Maserati.
Can we just install signals, under the existing road conditions?
That could be reused in another.
And what would be that expense? And I guess if we're willing to fund that expense, they would be willing to complete the traffic study to determine if signals are warranted. So maybe I can bring this back.
And right now the reconditioning would be kind of what we did 2-3 years ago, which seems to be holding.
It does.
You
I
know,
think it's an amazing
condition.
Yeah, they're thinking, what, another 5 years?
5 or 7. Yeah, yeah, they want to extend the life of the pavement to 2030, early 2030.
Yeah.
Good deal. Street reconstruction update. LeBron.
I'll bring up a map. So during the brush continuous improvement process review, we had identified some changes that could be made at the residential yardways drop-off site in this area here, and I'm going to zoom in. We had hired Robert E. Lee to go out and complete a topographic survey of the property. They went in and did a detailed topographic survey of the drop-off of the Yardway site and actually used a drone to map the rest of the property. But we had identified some cost savings ways to save some money possibly next year. One of which would be to keep the site open 24/7 to reduce or eliminate part-time staffing down there.
I know residents are excited about that.
We have kept that site open 24/7. Just recently, storm damage. We had our fear was that people just dump whatever they had.
Oh, they do.
And they do, but we haven't actually witnessed that. We haven't seen a lot of that.
Because it's been open. Awesome.
Yeah. So that fear has kind of gone away. But.
Oh, I thought you meant dumping it outside, because we had gotten that right. When the gates have been locked before, is people just leave things outside the gate. So, I mean, if they're open, then that's awesome.
Yeah, we left the gate open. We left this over here. We left this gate open off of LeBron into the site. Yeah. We left this gate open here. There's a gate here we left open, and we left this gate open as well. So people were actually, they could have come back behind the shop, the garage, and dumped whatever they had, but we didn't find that.
No.
We didn't find that.
I think in years past we found it out by the road when the gates have been shut. And electronics didn't get abused. That worked well. That is excellent.
Well,
that's another story.
Then, we do allow residents to come down to the site and drop off electronics and appliances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another service that we want to talk about, whether or not we want to continue with that next year. When we had started the program, there were minimal places where you could go and take your appliances and electronics. Now there are a handful of registered e-recyclers by the state, by the DNR. And there are a number of sites that are in close proximity to the village. And the disposal of those goods, it does cost the village some money. We ask for a donation.
Mm-hmm.
and not everybody pays it. We're currently looking at where are these sites located. I think there's one over at the MRF up on Broadway, at the Brown County MRF. You can bring stuff there. We'd like to eliminate that service next year, because there are places now nearby where people can bring their appliances and electronics.
If I can jump on them. What we also find is lawnmowers get taken down there, which has...
We've had a ton of those in the past.
We don't want those.
Yeah.
And we made it clear to the...
I thought we stopped taking those.
We did.
People...
If it's open, they'll...
Do they? Yeah. We took mine out to the Brown County, one way out west.
Transfer station.
Yeah, way out west.
Did before?
Yeah. The guy goes, just throw it in the dumpster out back. In the back. I said, you want me to pick this thing up and throw it in a dumpster?
Yes.
He said, no, just drag it out the back of your truck.
With gas in the tank?
Yeah, whatever. Really. Said, just throw it in the dumpster. I don't think so.
We don't get a bill from... We've contracted with NorSec. They're a registered recycler that will come and get those goods. And we do get a bill, not on a monthly basis, but we do get a bill from them for any shortfalls that they have in the donation box. Mm-hmm. And on average, it can be between $400 to $600.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what, like, for, like, say, for a year? What?
I'm thinking for a year, it would cost the village anywhere between $2,000 and $3,000.
Okay.
That's sad.
So there, you know, that's one service that, you know, looking to save some money, you could eliminate down at the yard.
Well, not every taxpayer should be subsidizing the ones who drop off without.
Yeah, don't put money in the thing.
Exactly.
Put in a dollar or something. So it looks like you do.
Put a gate in front of that section. Credit card kiosk. Mandatory donation, like an unfunded mandate.
Mm-hmm. That one you're funding your own disposal.
With the success of keeping the site open 24/7, recently we're hoping that next year that we can keep it open 24/7 all next year.
So right now it's open 24/7.
It will be
starting on the 14th through the leaf collection.
Oh,
period.
When we kept it open, there hasn't been a staff person there, and we haven't had a problem. So, and we're considering the need for a part-time person. Do we want to eliminate that part-time position? Do we want to reduce the hours? Right now, what is that expense on a yearly basis?
10 to 14,000
for what?
Part-time person to work the yard waste site?
For the two guys,
the
total,
two guys.
It's 10 to 14?
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
Is there an expectation? I've been down there enough, I just don't know if my crap. No problem, but I know sometimes they will help. Well, the one guy in particular helps keep on load. Kind of seems to enjoy it and all the rest. And there are folks that probably can't unload a lot of their stuff themselves, but I'm not saying we should continue it for that reason, but
I think there's something to consider when we work through the budget in detail on the 21st.
Yeah. Okay.
I know that, you know, keeping it open 24/7, Brad has been looking into the cost of cameras, and we want a couple cameras down there.
Change some of the fencing. We have to cut a rope.
And no commercial dumping.
Right. It kind of goes hand in hand with the recent mail out with what brushes and what blah, blah, blah. So if you get down there, you hopefully will know where to put stuff.
Yeah, good signage is important.
Yeah.
And people understand what it is.
Christmas tree exchange, we could possibly have even more.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good.
Well, the upside to switching it to a 24/7 is gives a resident an opportunity to go get rid of their stuff
does.
When they want it, when they're needing to get rid of it, and therefore reducing the amount of stops we have to make when we do pick it up. So it's, hopefully it's a win-win all the way around.
Well, and a lot of the other surrounding municipalities have 24/7, so I know.
Yeah, Green Bay does, I think.
So does it Pierre Ledgeview.
Military.
Well, there is some expense with converting it, and we haven't finalized any plans on how that would look. But trying to separate, potentially separate where the brush would be, so because those are the ones that typically have a trailer.
Yeah.
And give them enough room so they can maneuver and not interfere with others.
Or if it's me, you don't want me backing up. I need
we watched some of that.
We definitely have a space.
For a drive-through.
Allow them to expand that area, and did you bring that map?
I just kind of sketched out a little
bit. There are some possibilities, and definitely to expand to the north and make it larger.
Make this area that goes above the yard waste right now, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Take that area, make that designated for brush, and then you cut a roadway through, and come up. You drop and you continue right down and around, and then this area maintains your yard waste, grass clippings, leaves.
That's so really user friendly.
And put a little coffee kiosk in here. Make some money, we'll drive through there.
That was just it came from the continuous improvement. I mean, that's sort of the input that a lot of the staff had that from. Let's cut this road through. And at the time, I was saying, it just doesn't make sense. But the more you look at what this map ends up showing, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You have plenty of room.
And you know, you're keeping people from the back aspect, so you're not dumping whatever you want to dump.
Yeah.
But it's a real potential. And we'll work with staff to make sure that it's not interfering with functions that they already do down there.
And we don't have bulk waste down here like carpenter construction stuff.
That's
none
correct.
Of that. We haven't for a long time.
That's hauled directly to the transfer station.
Yeah.
Street reconstruction.
I'll give you guys a quick update.
Hopefully we're winding up.
Yes.
Just like the weather.
No, they're calling for snow north of here this weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm just thinking the poor people in Oakwood and Summit. I mean, that has been a summer-long project.
That was a big project.
Reconstruction. They're very good on our street.
Garner Construction has done a great job. They have throughout, they've had a detailed schedule, and that definitely helps. He is extremely organized. Real quick, Longview Avenue, the street reconstruction project has been completed. Oakwood Avenue, from Green to Mission, curb and gutter has been poured, driveway aprons have been placed. MCC, subcontractor that is responsible for the paving, was on site today doing the fine grading. They're hopeful to put down the binder tomorrow or Friday. Summit and Oak Hill Drive, and I'll get back to Oakwood Avenue from Mission to Green, or Mission to Alloway. Oak Hill and Summit, concrete subcontractors currently pouring driveway aprons for the most part. That work, hopefully that work will be completed this week. Hopefully MCC will go from Oakwood Avenue over to those streets to fine grade and prep for the placement of the lower layer of asphalt. Landscape restoration on these three streets has already started, and it will continue to end of this month. Oakwood Avenue from Mission to Alloway Avenue, all of the underground work has been completed, I believe, for the most part. The private side sanitary laterals have been, those that have elected to take advantage of that program, that their work has been completed. The excavating contractor will be in, I believe, next week to excavate the roadway, put down the base, and then behind them, the subcontractor will come in, the concrete subcontractor will come in and pour curb and gutter and the driveway aprons. Martha Avenue project has been completed. St. Joseph Street, work has been completed with the exception of the signage. We were told that that was going to get done today or possibly tomorrow. I haven't been out there to see if it has been done. Our hope is that project has been completed by the end of this week. For the most part, the road is open. It's a signage that needs to be completed. Street repair project, Woodrow and Brooker Street, those streets have been paved. Beaupré was paved last week, Thursday, Friday. Warren Court, I believe the excavating contractor completed the road excavation and placement of the base today. Curb and gutter, driveway aprons will be poured next week. Blackhawk Drive, the contractor, the general contractor on the O1 project, Oakwood and Oakville Summit, has added availability. We added Blackhawk Drive to his contract. The underground work has been completed. Roadway excavation to take place next week with curb and gutter and apron work to follow, with the hope of getting that street paved by end of this month, early November.
With all the weather issues we've had this year, did any of the projects that we were hoping to get done this year not get done?
None of the street projects.
Great job. Great job. Yeah.
We're still trying to, as mentioned earlier, we're still trying to, we will, if we have time in this year, we'll be putting together a contract to go ahead and repair Andalusia Sanitary Sewer. If that doesn't get done this year, we'll get done early next year. We have already started to plan for next year. Jeff and I are working on the repair project next year, the streets that we want to repave next year. We want to get a contract put together end of this year so that we can get that bid early next year to in the hopes again to hit these contractors when they don't have a lot of work and to get better prices.
Do you anticipate any opportunity for that Chase Breyer patch?
Oh, that we glad you brought that up. A few weeks ago, we met with Northeast Asphalt. We had asked them to put together a cost estimate to skid patch that, similar to what we did on St. Mary's.
Yeah.
I feel that we'll have money in the repaving project this year under patching to get that done. End of this month, early November. Keeping our fingers crossed. The contractor did indicate that they would have the availability, and it appears right now that we'll have some money available in that contract to take care of that. The estimated amount was about $6,000, and it was about 300 feet of regular skin patch.
Sweet. Good job, sir.
You have a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So you and your team.
Jeff Piatti, engineering tech. He's been overseeing the street reconstruction project. He's been doing an exceptional job. Mike Mollick, he's been helping out as well. He's been overseeing the water main repair, the removal and replacement of the water main on reconstruction projects. He's overseeing the brewery project. We've got a lot going on in addition to the repair and reconstruction projects. We're going in a number of different directions right now.
Yeah.
Just a number of, you know, Warren Court, early morning, especially the dump truck traffic, you know, hauling out the old stuff and bringing in the gravel or whatever. You know, it's like, oh, this kind of stuff. I don't have a clue about the total volume, but it's got to be huge. And that's just a relatively short stretch.
It is.
I mean, you've got Oak Ridge, it's not much more.
Yeah, it's a big project. That is a big project.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Stand adjourned.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for your...